Mr. Canestrari.
Yes, we'll now take up the last bill of this package on page 15, calendar 250, featuring all the way from Long Island, Patricia Eddington.
Page 15, calendar 250. Clerk will read.
Bill number 2772A, calendar 250. Ms. Eddington, an act to amend the penal law.
An explanation is requested, Ms. Eddington.
Yes, Ms. Speaker. I was told to give my explanation and then just call a vote. Ms. Speaker, to ban the possession, sale, and use of 50 caliber weapons in the state of New York.
Hold on.
Thank you. Mr. Burling?
Ms. Eddington, would you yield for a couple of quick questions, please?
Yes, I will.
It is your intention by this bill to ban the sale strictly of the 50 caliber weapon as described in this bill. Is that right?
Correct.
It is not your intention to ban the sale of muzzleloaders, black powder muzzleloaders?
I understand your question, Mr. Burrow.
It is not your intention. Right?
It is not the intention to ban black powder muzzleloaders. However, we might want to reconsider that, since a black muzzle loader was found on us with a student walking across St. John's University about a month ago. So we might want to revisit that. But no, that's not the intention of this legislation.
Right. And it's certainly not your intention to ban the use of rifled shotguns used for deer hunting in the state of New York.
No, Ms. Speaker, that is not the intention of this legislation either.
Thank you, Ms. Eddington. On the bill, please.
Thank you.
Madam Speaker, my colleagues, earlier I talked about unintended consequences of bills that are passed. We have to be so careful about what we pass out of this House, because once they leave here, then they're tried in the courts of law. There are people that are biased against guns in the state. We know this. Let me just, and I've gone over this once before, but for the edification of some of my newer colleagues, shotguns, if you're not familiar with them, come in gauges. And they run from a 10-gauge, which is used for goose hunting and turkey hunting, to a 12-gauge, to a 16-gauge, a 20-gauge, and actually a 28-gauge. And the last, or the smallest shotgun, is a 410. Now, in the case of the 410, it is not measured in a gauge. It's measured in a caliber, 410 caliber, which is 0.41 inches, 0.41 one-hundredths of an inch, almost a half an inch, almost 50 caliber. 50 caliber is 0.5 or half an inch, or 500 one-thousandths of an inch. If we extrapolate that out and we take a look at a rifled barrel, which is put on a shotgun that's used for deer hunting in New York State, we take a look at the slugs that are used. They're sabot slugs, single slugs, center fire, brass cased, fits the definition of a rifle. And if we take a look at the gauge and we extrapolate that or measure it in diameters, we can easily exceed the 50 caliber when we get to the 16 and 12 gauge shotguns. My main problem with this bill, even though I don't really feel that we have to necessarily outlaw these 50 caliber guns that are used mainly by the military, they're extremely large in size and, to my knowledge, have not committed any crimes in the United States yet. I don't feel that it's important that we ban those, but what's more important to me is the possible unintended consequences of this bill, that you could extrapolate this out, and this could be passed as it is, in the form as it is, go to a court of law, and a good attorney or a group of attorneys representing anti-gun people could argue the point that law-abiding citizens using rifled shotguns in New York State would be illegal. Now, it's very simple, I've asked the sponsor, would you please specifically point out in the bill that this does not apply to those shotguns? I still would find it objectionable, because I'd still argue against the 50 caliber, but that is the main problem that I have with the bill. I think it's a valid issue, and I think it's one that should cause pause for passing this bill, and I would ask my colleagues to vote in the negative. Thank you very much.
Mr. Butler.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Would the sponsor yield for a couple
will
quick questions?
Will you yield, Ms. Eddington?
Yes, I will.
Ms. Eddington, we spoke about this bill last year at some length. We had talked about even having you possibly contact the Remington Arms to talk about some of their specific concerns that do revolve around the shotguns. And the issue of the shotguns was something we discussed, I think, at some length last year. Is this bill exactly the same as it was presented last year?
Yes, Mr. Butler, it's exactly the same. And the reason being is that what we're talking about, what's being said here by my colleague before you spoke was it's apples and oranges, because if you put a rifle, if you put a rifle barrel on a shotgun, it still doesn't make it a rifle. It's never going to be a rifle, and everyone knows it's never going to be a rifle. And you know, we've debated this legislation, this particular bill, for 6 years now since I've been in the assembly, and I've been in for 8. So 2 of those years we were spared this this debate. But you know, it's apples and oranges here, and certainly would never in no way could you, if you put a rifle barrel on a shotgun, is it going to be a rifle?
But Ms. Eddington, in some of those earlier debates, I recall there was some objection raised to the muzzle loaders, the black powder guns. There was an exemption.
There is
written
an exemption
into this bill, and I continue to wonder why a similar exemption could not be drafted that would include these types of shotguns that would address those concerns, because even though you have not had a dialogue with Remington, I have heard very specifically from them they are very concerned that some of the products that they manufacture here in New York State would be affected by this ban. And in addition, if we just undertake this ban, as you talk about 50 caliber weapons per se, you could very well be influencing future business that may come to Remington Arms by very much restricting the type of weapon that they can manufacture. So my colleague spoke about the laws of unintended consequences. I think you may be in the position of creating some very unfortunate unintended consequences.
Ms. Speaker, there was an exemption placed in this legislation on black powder muzzle loaders. So that exemption already exists.
I understand that. Was there at one time talked about or considered or even as part of the bill an exemption for shotguns at all?
Well, because it's we're talking, you know.
So if you
excuse me, okay. You know what? The 50 caliber sniper rifle is in a class all by itself. We know that. This arguing about a shotgun and arguing about a sniper rifle are so totally different, and you should know that. So I'm amazed that we're still in the same spot that we're in since we did put the exemption in for the black powder muzzle loader, and now we're looking at the we're just looking at banning the 50 caliber sniper rifle.
I understand your intention with this bill that it's a very.
Well, there is no unintended consequences here.
But the way the bill is drafted, many people think this would be a more general ban on any type of 50 caliber weapon. As you just heard Mr. Burling say, that is a technical term that applies to the size of the barrel of the weapon. There are other guns, other weapons that are manufactured here in New York State that could be affected by this ban. We're asking that there be a specific exemption so that those concerns are addressed. If indeed you just want to address the issue of this particular type of military sniper rifle, it's a 38-pound weapon. It's huge. It's bulky. I understand the weapon you're talking about, but the way this bill is drafted, other weapons could fall under this ban that you may not be intending, or you say you've not intended.
Ms. Speaker, if I may, this is a quote. This is a quote from an expert author on sniping. It is the 50 caliber's tremendous ability to penetrate bunkers and buildings that make it so deadly. This means you can pulverize enemy positions and induce casualties without necessarily ever seeing the enemy soldier. All this damage can be done from over 20 football fields away and more accurate with a night scope and an incendiary device, which is a heat-seeking device, on the bullet. So we're not talking about a shotgun here. We're talking about a very powerful sniper rifle, which, by the way, Ms. Speaker, Speaker, to add to this,
Ms. DeVall, why do you rise?
The new rifle.
I would like to ask the
father's Eddington
a question of clarification.
No, not till I'm finished. Thank you.
No, Mr. Butler has the floor right now.
And the new sniper rifle that we're looking at is made of lighter material, and it folds up into inconspicuous pieces that you can now put inside a laptop case. So it's not this, you know, it's not the same piece of equipment of 38 pounds. I mean, they range in size from 32 pounds to 40 pounds.
The definition but, I continue to see in your bill says 50 caliber weapon. It does not say a 50 caliber sniper rifle that weighs 38 pounds that has to be pulled on somebody's back. All I see in your definition is 50 caliber weapon. That's a pretty ambiguous term. I think a lot of people, a lot of sportsmen, a lot of manufacturers are very concerned at the imprecise use of the language of the definition. That's all I'm saying. That's what the bill says. That's what I'm reading. It does not have any specific identification of the type of weapon, military sniper rifle that you're talking about. This is a broad banning of 50 caliber weapons. That's what I read. That's what many other people read. And it is a great concern to many sportsmen and many manufacturers. And I think it could be addressed. Again, I agree with Mr. Burling. I still would not support it. But I think those concerns could be addressed very easily with an exemption on those particular types of shotguns we're speaking about. There may be other 50 caliber weapons that I'm not aware of that could fall into this this ambiguous definition that you have. But I know, I've spoken directly to Remington, and they're very, very concerned about this piece of legislation and the impact it would have on their operations here in New York.
Thank you. I disagree, but thank you.
Okay. Madam Speaker, on the bill.
On the bill.
Again, I think this is a circumstance that has come up during our discussions on previous bills and many of these gun bills. Certainly, I understand Ms. Eddington's position on this, her concern about these 50 caliber sniper weapons and their power, and the fact that her concern that they could fall in the hands of terrorists. As I've said before, I doubt very much if the fact that we ban it here in New York is going to have much of an intimidating effect on terrorists. But what it will do, it will have an impact on manufacturers here. And I think it will have unintended consequences and lead to the possibility of having banned guns that sportsmen use here in New York State. For those reasons, Madam Speaker, I would strongly urge a no vote. I would, again, encourage the sponsor to enter into a dialogue with Remington Arms, and I think they could come up with a suitable exemption for the type of sporting firearms we're talking about without too much trouble, as was done for the black powder weapons that we have previously discussed. Thank you. I would urge a no vote.
Mr. Ball.
Madam Speaker, will the sponsor yield just for a few quick questions?
Will you yield, Ms. Eddington?
Yes, Ms. Speaker.
Ma'am, you there was a quote, and I can't remember it exactly, but there's a quote where you suggested, you talked about, I think, aircraft, armor personnel, bunker busting, specifically about the 50 caliber. Would you mind just reading that quote one more time? Do you have that?
I don't know. I don't have that quote that you just read about bunker busting.
Okay, two minutes ago, or maybe 3 minutes ago, you spoke about how the 50 caliber can be used to pierce armor, to go through concrete. An individual or organization had a 50 caliber weapon, what would they have to also have to go through concrete or through armor?
Special ammunition?
Special ammunition, yes ma'am. What type of special ammunition?
Probably a 7-inch bullet.
Armored piercing.
Correct.
The 64. So correct. Armored piercing. Now, according to federal law, 27-CFR-47811, armored piercing ammunition is currently illegal. It's against the law.
So?
And the only, well,
people get in it, get them anyway, right?
That may be an inconvenient fact, but it's already been outlawed. And the 50 caliber, the only way you're going to be able to do the destruction that you're talking about is that have access to that illegal ammunition. And
they do.
But it's illegal. Just like you want to make the 50 caliber and quite possibly the 12 gauge and 20 gauge shotgun.
But it doesn't illegal. Have to be. It doesn't have to be, Ms. Speaker. It doesn't have to be that they got it illegal. Somebody else could have purchased it legally and given it to them.
So what you're saying is that by making something illegally, you don't necessarily solve the problem. Is that what you're on the record as admitting?
There would be some penalties though, where there is none now.
So. Federal government and New York State has reaffirmed it that armored piercing rounds are illegal. So you're suggesting that that's not working? Is there great access to armored piercing rounds or?
You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. There has been in this discussion over the last 6 years, discussion in the fact that people are buying these Barrett weapons, sniper rifles, armor-piercing military arsenal right over the internet, along with the special 7-inch bullets.
How many times has a 50 caliber sniper rifle been used in the commission of a crime in the United States?
I'm so happy you asked that. Because, and I apologize to my colleagues now, but I'm going to explain this. A 50 caliber rifle like the one found in Grandview Road, in 2004 was an awesome weapon that fired the latest commercially available ammunition in the United States. Firefighters and police officers who dodged the hail of 50 caliber gunfire Monday, 2004 will attest to that. The slugs left, they said, gaping holes in several of their fire trucks and ambulance. And in February 2004, Donan Wright of Kansas City, United States, you asked me, Kansas City, Missouri, lured police officers and paramedics and firefighters to his home, where he shot at them several times with guns, including a Barrett 50 caliber sniper rifle. An ambulance paramedic was struck and injured by one of the bullets. In June 2000, Robert Stewart of Mesa, Arizona, a convicted felon, was charged with felony possession of firearms for being in possession of a Meg Griffin 50 caliber gun kit he was selling from his home, along with other firearms alleged to be in his possession. In April of 2000, convicted felon Wayne Frank Barbado.
Ma'am, I asked how many. I didn't ask for a litany of a three-minute tirade. I asked for how many crimes were commissioned in the were committed by using a 50 caliber.
Don't interrupt the speaker.
Thank
you, Ms. Speaker. Of Salt City, Utah, was charged with attempting to sell two 50 caliber sniper rifles to undercover federal agents. According to the General Accounting Office, 50 caliber sniper rifles have been found in the armories of drug dealers in California, United States. And so while this is happening all around the United States in a preventive measure, we thought it would be very important to ban the 50 caliber weapon here. Now, in the United States, gangsters pack a big heat. Nearly two dozen gang members were rounded up on Long Island in Lynbrook 2 weeks ago, carrying a 50 caliber sniper rifle in one of our colleagues' district. So they're very close to home right now. While before they were in California or Arizona, Arkansas, okay. Now they're right here in our own backyard. And until we recognize the importance of banning this 50 caliber weapon, one day we are going to say, we shoulda, we coulda, we woulda, but we didn't, and now we need to. Thank you, Ms. Speaker.
Okay. Mr. Kolb, I think I know what you're standing for.
We'll give it
but
a shot.
But right now, it's been a very, very long day, and I thank all of you for your patience, but we are trying to get through the last bill. Please hold your comments to yourselves. Do not interrupt the speakers when they are trying to speak. We want to finish, and we want to finish quickly. Please cooperate. Thank you.
So, Assemblywoman Eddington, I will very quickly move to the next question, but I asked a very specific question. How many crimes have been committed in the United States using the 50 caliber?
Will you vote for this legislation as soon as we have one?
You know, I wish I possessed your abilities in college when it came to evading tough questions. But it would be kind of important. You're the sponsor of the bill. I'm asking you, how many crimes have been committed using a 50 caliber in the United States? Just a rough number. 12, 32, 132, 6,095. Just a general number. Why is that a tough question to ask? It's a very serious piece of legislation, and it's a serious question.
When you say how many what crimes have been committed?
Yes.
Isn't it illegal? Isn't it a crime to possess a 50 caliber weapon?
Okay. We'll put that to the side. I have one last question for you. As you've suggested, this bill has languished here for 6-7 years, right? Mm-hmm. There are serious concerns among the sportsman's community. One of the concerns was the muzzle loader, the black powder. That has been addressed in this bill. I congratulate you. I applaud you. I thank you for listening to the constituents throughout the state of New York. The second concern is that it's possible that shotguns are actually going to be confined in this bill as part of another slippery slope measure, including 12-gauge and 20-gauge. Is it too much to ask from sportsmen and second right activists, advocates throughout the state of New York to just make sure that there's a very specific wording in this piece of legislation that sportsmen will not be rolled into this piece of legislation and certain 12 and 20 gauge shotguns would also be made illegal? Is that too much to ask?
Will you vote for it then when it comes back from the Senate like that?
You know what? Will you vote for the death penalty for cop killers and terrorists? Or did you? Or did you vote not germane?
Not germane.
Okay. Well, maybe we have a difference of opinion. Thank you very much, Madam Speaker.
Thank you.
Read the last section.
This act shall take effect immediately.
Record the vote.
I remind my colleagues that there is a motion to discharge.
Please do not leave the chamber yet.
Do not leave the chamber, colleagues. Our work is not concluded. Please come back. You'll enjoy the next few minutes as well. Thank you.
Are there any other votes? Announce the results.
Ayes 85, noes 49.
The bill is passed.